Blog Talk Radio.
Our prayers, our faith, all of that is seen.
If our conscience does not agree with our subconscious, not agree with what God says, he says, then we cannot serve him, and we're not serving him from a genuine heart or from a pure heart or from our whole heart, but that we are serving him from a fiend faith. So we're looking at faith unseen with him. What would then be fiend faith? It would be a partial faith. It would be a faith that we're coming from one of our hearts, whether conscious or subconscious, don't line up together. Okay, so we're going to continue to look into this on this morning so that we can see what possibly could be wrong with all the saints, that the Most High, the believers, that Messiah said, I'm going to tell them to get away from me. Because there is definitely something wrong there. And so it appears that their subconscious is not lining up with their conscious. In this case, they are professing that they know him and that they're doing works in his name and miracles. But their subconscious, there's something else going on there. Okay, and I'm not saying for those that he accepts, clearly that's not the case. But for those that he says to get away from me, you worker of iniquity, it surely is the case. So we're going to continue to look in on that this morning. I want to welcome everybody in Blog Talk, in Pal Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the only name whereby men must, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ, our Master and our Savior, our Elohim and our Redeemer, the lover of our soul and the rock of our faith. As we go forth this morning, I'm going to ask the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your head as we do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, and for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just glorify you. We lift you up. We magnify your name on this morning, Father. And we bow down before you, Father, and we praise your holy name. For you are worthy, and you alone are worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. And none shall we take from you, Father. No glory shall we take to ourselves. For you and you alone, you all praise and honor belong to you, Father. We just want to give it to you and not take any for ourselves. And we worship you on this morning, Father. And bestow our heart upon you, Father, to bless your holy name. With our lips and with our hands, we extol thee, O Yah Elohim. We extol thee. We extol thee. We lift you up above the highest heights in our minds, Father. For truly, that's where you belong. And hallelujah, 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 Father. Glory to your name. Glory, glory, glory to your name. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, Father. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive. forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. But if we would but turn from our sins and repent from our wicked ways, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears towards your people Israel, and you would hear our supplications and our prayers. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you, and that we have done wicked. And, Father, we are repenting from our wicked ways and turning from our sins, and we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom this morning, we ask that you would smile upon this work, that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Let's see here. Chapter 8, and we're going to start in verse 9 on today, though. 1 Kings chapter 8, we're going to start in verse 9. Chapter 8, starting in verse 9. Actually, let's start in verse 5 for today. Let me just have a drink here. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him, were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And the priest brought in the ark of the covenant of Yah unto his place and into the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread forth their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubim covered the ark and the staffs thereof above. And they drew out the staffs, that the ends of the staffs were seen out of the holy place before the oracle, and they were not seen without. And there they are unto this day. There was nothing in the ark save two tables of stone, which Moses put there at Horeb, when Yah made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of Yah, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of Yah had filled the house of Yah. Then spake Solomon, dwell in thick darkness. I have surely built thee a house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in forever. And the king turned his face about and blessed all the congregation of Israel. And all the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, blessed be Yah Elohim of Israel, which spake with his mouth unto David my father, and has with his hand fulfilled it, saying, since the day that I brought forth my people Israel out of Egypt, I chose no city out of all the tribes of Israel to build a house, that my name might be therein. But I chose David to be over my people Israel. And I was in the heart of David my father to build a house. It was in the heart of David my father to build a house for the name of Yah Elohim of Israel. And Yah said unto David my father, whereat it was in thine heart to build a house unto my name, thou didst well that it was in thine heart. Nevertheless, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son that shall come forth out of thy loins shall build a house unto my name. May the Most High a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. We want to concentrate on this morning, as Yah said unto David. And Yah said unto David, my father, whereas it was in thine heart We're speaking of the heart in this series and what the problem with the heart is in man. Wherefore, it was in thine heart to build a house in my name. Thou didst that didst well, and it was in thine heart. Okay. But David had blood on his hands. David's heart was right before the Most High. And David's heart was to keep the statutes, laws, commandments, and the ordinances of the Most High. And he let the beauty of a woman distract him from that sin. Okay. Now, in his subconscious, and what we are speaking of on today is the conscious and the subconscious part. Okay, because a lot of the things that we do consciously, subconsciously, our heart may not be in tune. Okay, so that's the precept for today. As we go forth, let us sound the shofar, for this is Yah's Sabbath, and we are commanded to sound the shofar in the Sabbath day.
Yeah.
Amen, 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 amen. Let us go into the Word of Yah. Go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of Elohim of great price. Now, he says this of the woman, but he's really talking this to have a meek and a quiet spirit. But he wants us to deal with him from the hidden heart, the one that we don't really understand, and even science today doesn't really understand the subconscious mind. And Yah calls it a heart, okay? And we're dealing with it from the two hearts. That he says we have a conscious heart and we have a subconscious heart. And so this is what the precept is built upon today. The two hearts of man are the conscious heart and the subconscious or the unconscious heart. The conscious heart is where man lives, reasons, feels, has emotions, thinks, and carries on his conscious activities in life. For all practical purposes, the conscious heart is the sense of man. What he feels, smells, what he sees, his senses, his emotions, that's the sense of man, the soul of man, the earthly man. Paul refers to it as the carnal man, the flesh man, this outer layer of the mind, of which are two scientists call the conscious mind. That's what the scientists today call it, the conscious mind. Okay. The conscious mind is a sense mind. What do I mean by that? It is fed by our senses, and it collects data, just like a computer collects data, collected by the five senses, touch, smell, hearing, seeing, tasting. These are all input signals, which the conscious mind then sorts, files away, and computes. All of the emotions, such as fear, love, joy, happiness, and such are sensual experiences. They are sensual of the senses. We get these things from our senses. They are earthly, of the earth. Man became, after the fall, dominated by his senses, outer mind, his conscious mind to control over the spirit. I pray we can hear this. All senses, knowledge, all sense knowledge, things that we collect from our senses, all sense knowledge comes in via the five senses. If you study the Bible, you either use your sight to read, or you use your sight and hearing, or your hearing only, depending upon the method of input. So you can be reading the word, you can be reading and hearing the word, or you can be hearing the word only as an input. This is called sense knowledge. It is a knowledge derived from the senses. You can memorize the Bible backwards and forward, side down, right side up. You could be able to quote it by every phrase as a computer can be in seconds. And while your audience, and I know people who can, you know, quote and tell you what verse, yeah, you say a verse, they can quote it, okay? But it's still only sense knowledge. It is only of the outer mind, which simply draws the memory from the subconscious mind, which has files within it. A computer works the same way. You file data in the computer for future retrieval and use depending upon what you're doing. By filing the data in files, you make it readily accessible for retrieval when needed. The human brain works like a computer in this respect. We all have files or pigeonholes in which we deposit data for future use. Those involved in memory studies have found methods that really do work to help us keep track of our many files. File, it may find it instantly, but then again, it may take a while to locate it. Once in a while, the computer says, file not found. once in a while, more often than we like, we run into the same thing when we're trying to bring up data that we have stored away, file not found. I remember reading that somewhere. I remember hearing it somewhere. Maybe I read and heard it, but now I can't actually recollect where I read it or heard it. And the actual file, I'm not able to locate it. We just say, I don't remember. This happens when you try to think of a name and cannot remember it. File not found. When you attempt to recall information, you are in fact sending a signal to the subconscious mind, which searches for that information. You yourself can rummage through the files, trying to locate it. It might take a long time to do it. You wake up in the middle of the night and suddenly remember the name. File found. This outer core of a man, this outer part of the brain, which we call the conscious mind, has a heart, a will, a great I am, as in, I am going to the store. You're talking about self. And inside of those hearts lies self. And we can call it I am, because you're identifying who you are, just as the Most High identified himself as I am, and can decide what it will and will not accept as truth. The conscious heart does that, okay? The conscious mind then is the controlling mind for the living sense world, the world that we decipher with our senses, the world that we take input from and store it into files, okay? It is vital to understand that when a person makes a decision to do something or not to do something, that is the conscious mind that is involved. The conscious mind has a center or a seat. The seat or the center of the conscious mind is where the heart is for that particular mind. And we called it the first heart last night. The word heart also refers to the center or the wellspring of the conscious heart, where it wells up at, where its source is at. If that is the heart we are dealing with, the center is where your great I am is located, where you yourself are located in what you think, what you feel, those things. If I walk up to you and ask you what your name is, you would say, I am so and so. That's where the I am resides. I am in the conscious mind. How do you know that? Because you are in possession of your fact, of your mind, of your conscious mind, is fully aware of who it is. When you decide to do something and do it, your conscious mind, your conscious heart, your conscious will, all act in harmony. And you do that which you propose to do. Be it go to town, bake cookies, go fly fishing, go to the beach, or whatever. That's coming from your conscious mind, your conscious heart. Until you decide, your mind evaluates whatever data it has and puts you on hold until a decision is made. I am not sure. It's being put on hold. Your mind is not made up. You have not decided fully in your conscious heart what you want to do. When you have finally evaluated all your data or gone and found more data to help you decide, you will eventually arrive at a decision. The will is always involved in the decision. I will do this or I will not do this. It's your will, your desire to either do something or not do something, your power to do something or not do something. Your decision to do it is based upon what others think, not what they think. Nevertheless, a decision has been made to act. This involves the will. Once the will is committed, that person will then proceed to carry out whatever choice was made. What is important to understand is that when a decision for Yahuwah is made, it is made wholly and totally in the conscious mind. So remember, we're dealing with the conscious and the unconscious for heart number one and heart number two. Heart number one, the conscious mind, controlled by our senses and the data that we get through our senses. Based upon that data that we collect, we evaluate it, we process it, and we make decisions on what we believe and what we're not going to believe. Even about Messiah, this is the process that we go through. When we heard the word, we took the word in, we filed it, and we processed it in our conscious mind. And we made a decision to believe certain things and to not to believe certain things, or to be not decided on certain things from our conscious mind, what we read, what we heard, what we saw. So we got to understand that when a decision for Yahuwah is made, it is made wholly, totally, in the conscious mind, by the conscious will, by the conscious I am, you the individual. It is and must be wholly a sense of decision, for we have no other choice. We are in control of our conscious mind. We ourselves sit upon the throne of the conscious mind, and we decide to accept the claims of Yahuwah or reject them. That's the conscious part of us, taking the input through our senses, sight, smell, taste, hearing, feeling, processing those and developing emotions, all of that going on in our conscious mind, and then making decisions who we are. And we make the decision to accept or reject. So what if this is not enough? Because see, this is a carnal man. Carnal man deals from the senses. What if this conscious heart decision does not avail us of union with Messiah? What if he's looking at something deeper? What if there's another heart? We talked about the second heart. Deeper, beyond anything we can reach. Let me say that again. What if Messiah is looking at something deeper? Something that we have no control over, that we can't reach. What if that heart that he's looking at remains a stone? Remember, he says it this way to Israel, I will take the stony heart out of you and give you a heart of flesh, a living heart. He's talking about the subconscious. What if your conscious mind deceived us into thinking it was our whole heart? Since we can't discern the subconscious, what if our conscious mind told us that it was the whole heart? It's everything that we use to discern everything, because that's all we know. But the Most High says, no, there's another heart there that you don't know about. Science today has called it the subconscious, okay? It's at work when we're asleep. It's at work when we are not really thinking about things. Because when we're thinking about things, it's in our conscious mind. But this mind, this heart, processes things behind the scenes. And it's written to by the conscious mind, controlled by the conscious mind. If that heart, the subconscious, remains a stone, what do we do? So if our conscious mind deceives us and tricks us into thinking that, hey, this is all that there is to me, so this is what I really believe and think, how I feel, but there's another part to us, then we can be deceived to thinking that, hey, we believe the truth. We believe and know everything about ourselves, and this is where we stand. Okay? So if that's what the conscious heart does, then it can deceive us and pose as the subconscious or the rest of the heart, the part that Messiah and the Most High deal with. This is who I am. Remember that speech? I am going to the store. Speaking of you yourself personally in the conscious realm. That part of you can pose and say, hey, that's all there is to me. And can be, and it can deceive us to thinking that there's not another part of us that needs to be dealt with. It can deceive us and tell us that it is the true heart. That's why we can be conflicted. That's why the scriptures say we can be double-minded. We can even be double-minded in the conscious mind, heart. But when our conscious and unconscious don't match, we are definitely double-minded, double-hearted. And when we are in that state, we are in deception. We are in delusion. Consciously, we say one thing. Subconsciously, we're saying something else. So we want to appear to be right. We want to appear to be righteous. But subconsciously, we know we are dealing with some things and processing some things that don't line up. In this case, with the Most High. Yet another heart, a heart so deep within that it lies buried beneath the subconscious and lies in the very innermost center of our being, in our spirit. What if Elohim and Yahuwah are telling us that it is the innermost heart that must be regenerated and not the conscious heart? Got to regenerate your innermost heart and not the conscious heart, then we would be in big trouble and not aware of it. If we're not aware of the subconscious, and that's what has to be regenerated, and this is what the Most High and Yahuwah are dealing with, then we can't control that. And so we would be in big trouble because they could not align. The only time we would become aware of it would be when we die. Elohim exposes it to us. This is the real you right here. And shows us this ugly, dark, evil in our heart. Of hearts which we consciously never knew about. It would be like Goober. If anybody ever saw Mayberry RFD, Goober on there always would say, surprise, surprise, surprise. We would be surprised. That's me? That's who I really am? I thought I was this other person. But my inner heart was not that. And the Most High exposed it. No. You were conflicted. Consciously, you wanted to do the right thing, but subconsciously, there was evil there. To many. He said it. Didn't many of you come to me and say, did we not do great works in your name? Did we not cast out evil spirits? Did we not feed the hungry? Did we not do wondrous works in your name? Surprise! You did that from your conscious mind, but subconsciously, the motive was not right. The motive was probably self-glory. It's not right. That's going to be a shock and a horror and a terror that they face, because they weren't aware of this inner heart. the one that Messiah said had to be regenerated. The people read the scriptures, and they understand what the scriptures are telling them that they must become. And consciously they do that, but subconsciously their inner heart don't match that. You know, I would rather be doing wicked, but because the scriptures say don't do it, I'm not doing it. But secretly, I desire it. What might be equated to a man knowing that he should not rape a woman and take what he has not freely given him, take it by force. But secretly, that's what he desires to do. Inwardly, that's in his heart to do that. Outwardly, he says, no, I'm not going to do that. He's conflicted. I'm fighting with myself. Thing. So when the Most High opens that up and shows him, you never got that regenerated. That desire within you was never removed. It was never changed. Now, a lot of people look at it when they're trying to be honest with themselves. They'll say they're struggling with something. They're struggling with, I know this is in me. I know what to do right. I know what to say. But I still have these thoughts and these feelings of this. It's coming from the subconscious, the inner, below the subconscious, even the inner heart, as Most High says, never got regenerated. What if it's this inner heart that Messiah has to come in union with? He's not going to come in union with an evil inner heart. He's not going to set up residence there. So when we're looking at this and we're trying to figure out what went wrong with the people that he says, he said, you knew me, but I never knew you. It is quite clear that from their conscious heart, they're saying and doing all the right things. And from their conscious heart, they believe that they know Messiah. But we know that the scripture says Messiah has to know us. And he says, I never knew you. I never came into right relationship with you in your inner heart. I never regenerated that. So we have to ask our question. Ask the question from the standpoint, heart, like two hearts. And the Most High, and we are dealing with two hearts. One we can know, one we're conscious of, and one we're not. Is there an inner heart? Man says there's a subconscious. The Most High says there's another heart. Is there an inner man? Is there a spirit man that dwells deep, deep, deep within, at the very center of our being? The spirit man, the inner heart, the true who we are. As Most High says, there is a spirit in man. But if we read 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, the scripture says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, the hidden man of the heart, that inner heart, that inner man, in that which is not corruptible. Even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit. That's what the Most High is looking for. That meek and that quiet spirit. He wants our inner man to be meek and humble, not proud and puffed up, not evil thinking, not wanting power for the sake of power. Because when we act out of that inner man from that position of power, we do evil things. But when we have that same power and we do it from a meek and a humble spirit, a meek and a quiet spirit, we wield that power differently. This is what he's looking for. He says that inner man has to be regenerated. Not the man that we can, that we use consciously, the conscious I am. What the Most High wants to regenerate is the unconscious I am. Because it has a center as well. And this I am is truth. Maybe different than your conscious I am. The spirit you, because there's a lot of people, I never understood it, that don't believe that they are a spirit being, that we are spirit infused in flesh. The conscious man, the sense man, the natural man uses the senses, collect data, and so forth. The unconscious man, the inner man, does not use those things. Let's continue. Science, psychology, will tell you without scripture that there is a subconscious mind. It is an extremely powerful dynamo. And if we learn to control it properly, how much power would we have? They don't really know. Those that study the mind claim that the subconscious part of ourselves is programmable. Now, what are we supposed to be programming it with? And that we program it via our conscious mind thought. In other words, what you think about, what you read, do, watch, and hear is what's filtered through into the subconscious mind. That mind then begins to mirror back what we feed it. And we become what we think. Yahuwah said the same thing, as a man thinketh, so is he. So we take in this information through our senses. We file it into files that the subconscious also receives. Come with the conscious think. But it's below the conscious. How does one become like Yahuwah then? First of all, we have to make a choice. We got to make a choice for him, to be pro him or against him. Follow after him. How do we follow after him? We didn't see him. Can't use that. We didn't physically hear him. We read about him to begin with. And we're using our conscious man to do that, to read. We hear about him from other people. We read other books. And you got to be careful what you read, because remember, everything that you're reading, that you're listening to, even if you reject it, it still got written. You remember, it is filed somewhere. If you were watching porn and you saw an act, and that act detested you, you know, you found that act detestable. You still saw it and you still filed it. And you might file it up under reject, but you still got it. that will filter into your spirit. And so you might say, hey, I don't do that. But subconsciously, you might say, consciously, you might say, that was a horrific act. So you may have liked it. And that's what gets written. But we follow after Yahuwah by reading about him, reading all sorts of books about him, by watching videos, listening to tapes, going to church functions. The Christian or the believer keeps his mind on the things of Yahuwah. And he's supposed to be programming himself, programming our subconscious mind, our subconscious, our spirit man. And we are feeding it from all kinds of things, in all kinds of ways. Things that aren't good for it. Those things get fed in there and they're there. You don't have the ability to delete from it. The subconscious dynamo dutifully records all this input and begins to mirror back that which is placed into it. This mirror back is sent a form of deep inner commitment. If you walk up to a member and mirror and say, I am ugly, you do that 20 million times, you will convince yourself utterly it is the truth. I'm ugly. You'll start to believe what you, your spirit will mirror that back to you. I'm ugly. The real truth about it does not matter. Why? Because the mirror image repeats back. What is this programmed with? Something spoken to us when we are very young go directly into our subconscious and they remain there as truth. Example of it. Many a child is crippled emotionally by their thoughtless parent by cruel and untrue remarks, which the child who fully trusts the parent accepts these things as truth. And they are true for that child's mind, even if they are not true, as a matter of fact. It becomes that person's truth. You said I was ugly. I accepted that, and it fed right into my spirit. And you said that to me every day. And when I met people, I believe I was ugly. And so in my eyes, I was ugly, even though, as a matter of fact, people didn't find me ugly. But that was that child's truth. It is the distortion of reality that cripples the human soul. Counseling of emotionally disturbed is nothing more than an attempt to reprogram the subconscious. When the counselors are trying to reprogram and get beneath the rational thinking mind, because that's not the source. That mind took it in and filed it. And the subconscious is where it's written permanently. And you're trying to delete that bad input. And most of the time, it's impossible to do it. Not 100%, but most of the time. Yep, in the deep subconscious. All sorts of methods are used in to go deep into the inner mind, such as hypnosis, medication, etc. It is the duty of the subconscious to record every input received. It is like a huge video camera that records sight, sound, feel, smell, taste from all this data as being shaped like a play doll is shaped by its maker. So the subconscious or the spirit takes all this in. The mind is, once programmed, very powerful. And it will not give up its programmed information easily. When you issue the command to delete a file, it refuses to do so. Even on your computer, once you delete a file, that file is not gone. It's still there on the computer until it's overwritten. And if you know how to do it, you can undelete anything that's been deleted. The computer will tell you it doesn't remember it. File not found. But as long as it has not been overwritten, as long as that memory location has not been overwritten, that file can be retrieved. Go in, they delete all this stuff on their computer, they think it's gone. Somebody comes in, knows what they're doing, and says, okay, undelete all this stuff. Because the only thing it does is that adds a special character to the front of the name of the file that tells Windows or Linux or Mac, whatever, this file's been deleted. But the physical file has not been deleted. There's just an indicator there that says it's been deleted. And it makes that memory location or that file location available to be written over. Now, our brain works, or our spirit works, similar to that. But when you tell the subconscious to delete something, it doesn't delete it, okay? It works like a computer to delete the file. It does not have a delete function. You cannot erase what is written there. Once placed there, it is there forever. What we attempt to do is then reroute to overwhelm the new, with new evidence, the real truth. As we present new evidence, the deception, the delusion we are under in our subconscious mind is exposed. To our conscious mind, we begin the slow and painful process programming our faulty information. Regeneration. Because of the power of the subconscious mind, its ability to mirror back that which is programmed to do, it is a small leap to attempt to reprogram with all positive, all affirmative information. If we were to continue to tell ourselves that we are good, great, wonderful, beautiful people, that we are in reality Elohim, soon the subconscious mind begins to mirror back those affirmations. And we program ourselves into the final grand delusion. We become puffed up at our own importance, our own godhood. We enter the new age movement and all new age concepts. This is what man has done. Their entire base lies in the ability to reprogram the human subconscious. And thus we can become anything we want by this method. If we believe that we are that way, then we become that. We'll become that which we believe. It is the power of the subconscious mind that man is now tinkering with, and they dub it the last frontier. This is what Messiah and the Most High were dealing with from the very beginning, this inner man. I don't believe that they are aware of how correct they are. The scientists who believe that this is the last frontier, because if they can control this, they can truly control men. This is the area that Antichrist will come. And let me hold on. Somebody appears to have a question. Seven nine one 9580. You raised your hand. Do you have a question? Seven nine one 9580. You have your hand raised. Do you have a question? So this is the basis for the grand delusion. This is how Antichrist reprograms the people and gets them to believe phileo love, brotherly love, is greater than agape love. Let's reprogram mankind to think a different way. Let's reprogram his spirit. And rather than reprogramming it with the instructions of the Most High, reprograms it with more false information. What man does not realize, is that Satan's domain is the inner subconscious mind. And when they unleash the power of it, they will unleash the supernatural power of Satan. With all of its lying signs and wonders. That the subconscious is that powerful. And if you believe, truly believe that you can do this, what Messiah was saying, we have to believe without doubting. But we're not programming ourselves with the right information, with the right stuff. Satan also has dominion over the atmosphere.
Excuse me. Is now in the conference.
All right, I muted whoever that was that just came on. Because Satan also has dominion over the atmosphere as well, he will substantiate the inner delusion with physical manifestations to prove it to all men. Oh, what's going on in here? The internal manifestations will be that phileo love, brotherly love, agape love. That the brotherly love of man is equal to the agape love of the Most High. And he will cause man to reject agape love and replace it with the love of men. That's what we got to understand. Number one. Okay. All right, let's continue. So phileo love, brotherly love, we know is actually dealt with from a corrupt heart, a corrupt mind. And man and Satan are going to get people to believe that brotherly love is better than agape love. Now, one of the things I was doing some research yesterday after I came back from the market, going out and I was seeing what Christianity, quote-unquote, Christianity believes about the Most High and his love. And one of the doctrines of men that is being pushed in the world is that the Most High is all forgiving, that he is, he loves us unconditionally, which is a lie. But this is a lie pushed by Satan, because then it will cause man to believe that the Most High will accept anything that he does. Whenever he does it, or as long as he does it. As long as you say you repent, sorry, that God will accept that and forgive you. But that's not what the scriptures say. but this is what Christianity is teaching. Just a second here. What Christianity is teaching. So we have to understand that that's not the case. Okay? It's not the case. It will teach you that your brotherly love is going to promote you into Elohimhood, into Godhood. God, a child of the Most High. When, in order to become a child of the Most High, you have to have the Most High standard, not man. Now, this brotherly love is a powerful force because men can easily identify with it. Men can easily identify with it. It's a powerful force within man because if you can sell this to men, again, it's easy for them to identify with. Brotherly love comes out of the conscious heart. It does not come out of the subconscious heart. It comes out of the conscious heart. It is a fleshly love. It is a carnal love. It is not based upon the inner man, the inner heart. It is this type of love from the conscious heart that man will use to glue each other together, to bind each other together. This is the heart that Antichrist will use to make and believe that they are doing the right thing. If we sell agape love as a type of love that is not obtainable by us, and we replace it with brotherly love, which we can't obtain because it's naturally within us to one degree or another, then mankind will gravitate to that in flock. So understand that this is what Antichrist is doing, that he is pushing phileo love, brotherly love, into the subconsciousness of men. Every man can identify with phileo type of love, brotherly love, what we think, what we feel, what we see, what we have determined from that to be good or bad. And that is different than what the Most High said. It's good or bad. To rewrite things or to eliminate sin, transgression. So he will rewrite the subconscious, the inner heart, with phileo love, brotherly love, and tell you that it is agape love. Now he has moved the Most High to our standard, for he has made us use brotherly love as the standard for the Most High, for his love. And he's going to do an outward manifestation of it to convince us. See, what you can feel, what you hear, what you take. In your conscious mind, your conscious heart, is what you use to evaluate good and evil. And it tells you that, hey, if you do X, Y, Z, this is good, and if you see X, Y, Z, it's evil. But if that is contrary to what the Most High said, it seems good and it seems seems good to you in your inner heart, then you will reject what the Most High is going to do. It with lying signs and wonders. He's going to reinforce what he gives to us. He's going to manifest those things from the spirit world. Just like you have a lot of people saying that they saw, you know, a vision of the Virgin Mary, the Virgin of Fatima, and that Virgin Mary was telling them things to do that were contrary to what the Most High said, spreading brotherly love. Oh, here's a great sign. It's from the Most High. It's the Virgin Mary, his earthly mother, which the Catholic Church preaches and teaches to what? Pray to her that she intercede on your behalf with him. We got 4 billion people believing that. So this is how Satan is going to work. Let me rewrite in your spirit, reprogram your spirit to accept phileo love, brotherly love, rather than the love of the Most High. And no matter what somebody tells you, once that is done, it becomes a core value, okay, a core value. It becomes a core value. And it takes an act of the Most High. It takes something serious to value. Those are things that you know that you know. And the reason that you know is because they're written into your spirit man, your subconscious man. And for somebody to change that, as we said earlier, it is almost impossible for somebody to change that. But once this reprogramming of the subconscious is done over generations, it didn't happen all at once. It starts with a movement. It starts with a philosophy and a belief that some man believes that, oh, I discovered that this way of thinking is better, and we can positively reinforce it this way. And we can come up with all these doctrines, these philosophies, these trainings to reprogram the way man thinks. That's how Antichrist works. And this is what he's doing and has done. So when the lying sign comes and says that all men must repent and use brotherly love, because the subconscious is looking for something, you hear this written into your subconscious. And whether you want to believe it or not, or whether you believe it or not, it is there. And it can influence how you think, how you act. Now, they're also using UFO activity, flying saucers, life from other planets. And they're saying, hey, they are coming here so that we can be included in the intergalactic civilization, step of man's evolution. writing the Most High out and what he says is going to happen and writing something else in its place. Galactic love. The explosion of UFO activity, and I've seen UFOs myself, okay? But what they're here for and why, I'm not altogether convinced of. But they got UFO activities, and they got channelers who write via automatic writing to prove the case. With one accord, that so-called aliens are calling for love, peace, brotherhood. The so-called love they are calling for is natural human love released from deep within. The entire premise on locked up deep within each human being is a core of love. It is the outer garment, the conscious and the subconscious mind that is causing us the great problem. And we all need to learn to do is to release this inner core of love. This is what they're telling us. And when we do, we will then realize our Elohimhood or our Godhood. But it's a reprogramming of the spirit and leaving the Most High out. And we're trying to replace the Most High with brotherly love. They're telling us from that standpoint, it is the brotherly love that we have to release before we're the true brotherly love so that we can accept all beings, aliens, what have you, so we can accept them to enter into the galactic society based on love, their definition of love. Our UFO brothers who have come to help us make the change will inform us exactly how it is to be done. We will then follow their instructions to be reborn into the Godhood status. Our radiant inner love showing forth to all. With Satan, that is him. Because this is all satanic. To get us to rewrite and to accept brotherly love. Oh, you want to fit into the universe? You got to have brotherly love. You got to have brotherly love in your inner man. And we will accept from brotherly love that, hey, it's okay to have war. It's okay to capture somebody and dissect them for the greater good of man. It's okay to use prisoner of wars to perform medical experiments on so that we can learn. That's brotherly love, good of all mankind. But it's not the love of the Most High. It's the same love that the alien societies are using. It's the same love that that Satan used to convince man that, hey,
is now in the conference.
You got to have brotherly love. Okay. So that's what he says we got to do. He's going to also do that with lying signs and wonders. Aliens, they're trying to release it now. If you look at, you know, the Discovery Channel, or if you look at UFO Chronicles, they want to tell us that aliens have always been here and that this is their purpose. But the truth of the matter is the aliens are coming with an agenda. It is also to move us away from Elohim and to replace love of everything in the galaxy versus what our Elohim says. So we gotta know that and understand that, believe that. That's what's coming. Mark my words. They're gonna tell you real soon here that aliens in fact do exist, that they are here peacefully, and that they're gonna stop us from trying to use atomic weapons. They are concerned about, you know, our ability to make war, to be destructive, to use our powers for destruction and not give a damn or care about our fellow man or our fellow alien. And that if we want to be a part of this society, that we have to accept and enfold and embrace brotherly love for all beings. For all beings. Okay? All right. When we look at movies like Star Trek, I mean, I look at all these things, and then you have to wonder what the agenda is. Star Trek, Star Wars, E.T. time, that Data Earth stood still. You are being reprogrammed subconsciously to accept these things. And then you'll have somebody come and say subconsciously that they talked to these aliens and they said that, hey, we have to put down war and accept brotherly love. And it is to prepare mankind for the physical manifestation of the fallen sons of Elohim. Yeshua said that as it was in the days of Noah, so would it be again. Noah lived 950 years with 600 of those years flood. He saw the sons of Elohim, the fallen angels, arrive from the heavens. Revelation chapter 12 says it will happen again. Those beings exist. We're going to call them aliens. They're going to come saying, hey, you need to accept phileo, brotherly love of all creatures, no matter where they come from, whether this planet or another planet, whether from this earth or the heavens. And you know what people will, you know, and when they show technology that's far beyond what we have today, when they're doing the things that they can do, travel at 12 times the speed of sound in the atmosphere and don't create a sonic boom, when their aircraft can go from the air to underwater to outer space, airplanes that fly in the air, we got submarines that go underwater, we got spaceships that can't operate. We got, you know, like the space shuttle. They can't operate underwater. It can fly through the air and then out of space. But it can't do the things that these aliens can do. And when they come and they show us, hey, we have the technology and the know-how to travel the stars, to go to other solar systems. But we're not going to give you that until you learn phileo, brotherly love. We're not going to give you that. So that we rewrite our inner man, our subconscious, to accept brotherly love as agape love. This is how God wants it to be. This is the standard that God wants us to have. When it's not the standard that he wants us to have. It's not the way that he wants us to be. He wants us to care about our fellow man. but from his standpoint, not ours. So let's rewrite the second heart. Let's rewrite the inner heart, the inner man, the subconscious heart, because that's what he's gonna, man is gonna always reflect back. Whatever gets written in there doesn't get erased. So if we can't erase it, we need to reprogram it. So the reprogramming is going to be the phileo love that they want us to release is the agape love of Elohim. So they're going to make man believe. They're going to make man believe that he's inherently good, when the Most High says we are inherently evil. The exact opposite. And that we must learn to control the evil. You know, if you got corrupt programming, if you got evil programming, the programming is not going to let good come out of evil. But if you believe that you can change your program, if you believe you can control the output, so put it this way, program that's written to calculate 1 plus 1 equals 2. And no matter what you put into it, if you put 15 plus 15, if the program says everything equals 2, no matter what you put into it, it's going to output 2. So you teach the program to correctly calculate the numbers, and it gives you a different output. But you can corrupt the programming and say no matter what's put in, the output is 2. Whoever is using the program, the person that is programmed that way won't know that they're outputting bad data. They won't know that they're making bad decisions because the programming is coming from internal, still 8. But 1,000 plus 1,000, 2. With 20 minus 3, 2. With 8 plus B, 2. Is everything that comes out of you too? Well, yeah, that's what I think. That's programmed to do that. So mankind will be taught that you can learn how not to be evil when the programming that he has is evil. They will program you that you are destined to become a God. That is your final destination. When the Most High, you have been, quote unquote, programmed by him, you become his child. If you become his child, you become a God. Not one outside of him. But he says without his spirit, without him uniting with you, you don't get elevated to Godhood. But the new program will tell you through brotherly love, you can receive evolution to Godhood. Most of us, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. I made you to unite with my spirit. I didn't make the angels that way. I didn't make the fallen ones that way. They are what they are, but you were created and designed so that my spirit would unite with your spirit. And when my spirit unites with your spirit, you become my child. Child that I need to start programming the inner man with my statutes, my law, my commandments, my judgments, my ordinances, so that you can think like me, so that your standards are based upon my standards and not your own. So Satan knows if I can get them to, if I can reprogram them to think that their version of love, brotherly love, is godly love, they will replace godly love agape love with brotherly love. And they will believe that they are doing the will of the Most High. And they will believe that they will be elevated to Godhood by this standard without the Most High. So what's going to come up in the near future? Some extraterrestrial beings are going to show themselves to all of mankind and said, this is what you two are to evolve to. Mark my words. It is coming soon. You're to evolve to what the extraterrestrial is. If anybody ever saw that movie, Cocoon, the extraterrestrials, when they took off their flesh, they were beings of light. Of light. We have a multitude of people all over the world who have reported seeing these unidentified flying saucers, flying objects, UFOs. I've seen them myself, okay? They do exist. Their purpose will be to reprogram us, so that we accept brotherly love over the love of the Most High. There are reports that all the governments in the world have had contact with these beings. Some of them are in relationship with these beings. The government believes that evolution is a fact. And how we evolve, they want to actually try to be in on that process. And it's not to evolve the way that the Most High said to evolve. Remember Darwin and the theory of evolution? We started as one-cell organisms, and then we evolved into human beings. You're only going to take it another step further and say that if you learn how to love, have genuine brotherly love, then you can evolve upwards into a God, into a higher being. You will have increased intelligence. You will not make war with other beings. When they know that a lot of these real beings have experimented on human beings with the approval of the government, we need to make a hybrid extraterrestrial and human being. And it's how they believe that we are going to evolve into something more. And we have to have, based upon the premise of brotherly love, we need to program them with that so they accept these changes. So that they believe that this way is better than what the Most High has said. In the name of brotherly love, because nobody's perfect. We accept this new program. So since everything is reduced down to natural evolution, based upon brotherly love, our acceptance of brotherly love, then the natural love of man must be the love of Elohim. That's what they're going to make people believe. Whomsoever they picture the Most High to be. Tell you, brotherly love over the love of Elohim, and the picture of Elohim will become whatever picture of brotherly love they want you to accept and believe. So the mind is the member we read in Ephesians. The battle is not between flesh and blood, but between principalities in high places. The battle is for your mind, your inner man, your subconscious. That's what it's for. And so that's what they're going to come after. That's what they are coming after. So Elohim's going to allow Satan to throw every supernatural power he has to deceive man. Why? Because they rejected the way of the truth. And he says, if we reject truth, he will send us a delusion, a very strong delusion. Do not believe the truth. Because we reject truth. We reject the truth of the straight way and the narrow gate. We reject the truth of Elohim. That there's only one way to evolve. There's only one way for man, the way that Elohim has made for man to evolve. And the only ones that get to evolve are those that follow his standard, his love. The love of the Creator. The grand delusion is you don't have to do what Yeshua said, what Yahuwah said. But Jesus Christ said, you don't have to do that because you are Elohim. You can become Elohim. You can make your own decisions. You can proceed and be elevated with an unregenerated heart. Because your unregenerated heart is to follow, is supposed to follow the laws and the love of the Most High. But if I get you to believe that the love of the Most High is brotherly love, this is what the Most High wants you to run off of, this is what he wants to be your motivation, then you will replace his love, his standards, with your own, with those of mankind. That's what he's going to do, and that's what he's doing. And these things have taken thousands of years in mankind's time to do, but in the eyes of the Most High and eternal being, it's only been a couple of days. A couple of days. To corrupt man. To reprogram him. And to make him think that his standard is higher in the standards of the Most High. The Most High's ways are not equal. His ways are not just. That's what they've gotten man to believe. And our ways are better than his ways. Our form of love is better than his form of love. And that is what has been rewritten in our subconscious. Love the whale. Love mankind. Love your fellow man. At the same time, love life. Don't kill a baby in the womb, but don't give a damn about it once it's in the earth. So we don't like abortion, and we want you to make sure that child is born into the world. And then we don't care. We'll use it for whatever we want to use it for. And kill it if we don't necessarily like it or agree with it or feel that it is transgressed against our law in some way from brotherly love to kill it. We won't necessarily worry about whether it can be fed, if it is sickly, if it has the best chance of, you know, surviving. Don't really care. That's brotherly love. Self-centered. we don't want to be killers, but then at the same time, once you are here, we're not responsible for you. And if you are just extremely poor, then we want to, as the Bible says, so that we can appear godlike, kind of throw something your way that satisfies our heart. But I did something for you, so you can't complain. If you were really good, this wouldn't be happening to you. Brotherly love. They're not trying to eliminate poverty. They're not trying to eliminate, because the Most High says, don't close your hand to the poor. And there should be no poor among you. If I bless one of you with $1 million, you should all have $1 million. You should all use that money to take care of each other. And I didn't bless you with it to consume it upon yourself. But brotherly love says, hey, I earned this money. And I should be able to do with it whatever I want to do with it to please myself. Brotherly love. It's contrary to what the Most High said. No. All right, so let's keep going. This deeper deception, what time are we at? Okay. Oh, we're going to stop right here. Didn't pay attention to the time. It is 9:56, my time. So we're going to stop here. Understand that Satan's whole desire is to reprogram the subconscious, the inner man, the hidden heart of the man, to believe that it is equal to God. And that man's standard of love, carnal love, is equal to or above the laws of the Most High. And so we have to understand that this is what we are fighting against. This is why we have to reprogram ourselves with the scriptures and with the statutes, laws, commandments, ordinances, and judgments of the Most High. If you don't program with brotherly love as the standard, understand that, okay? I'm thinking that we will continue this on this evening until I can finish this portion. So that we can just finish this up and go ahead and move on to other things. But it is the hidden man. It is the mind. This mind that the Most High says needs to be regenerated. It's not your conscious mind. It's not the carnal man. The carnal man will reflect what has been poured into the subconscious by the carnal. So if you live a sinful life programmed that the solution for everything is brotherly love, then you will have missed the boat and you will take the wide gate. You will take the wide gate and you won't take the straight and the narrow road. All these other philosophies that are leading you into that brotherly love is the answer. Take you away from the straight gate, the keeping of the commandments of the Most High, becoming godly via union with him. Not creating more God, but God expanding himself through each of us. Because we are where he wanted to reside. Let's bow our heads. Father Yah, we come before you, Father. Father, give us a mind that reflects your mind. Give us a heart and a desire to reprogram ourselves via your word, via your statutes, your law, commandments, your ordinances, and your judgments, that we use them to reprogram our inner man, that they become us, so that we can become like you. Because mankind is teaching us that he has a better way. And he's doing that because they are the agents of Satan. And Satan has appeared unto them as an angel of light, and they have bought into the agenda. So, Father, all that you have chosen, all that you have revealed yourself to, let them know and understand that the only true way to evolve is by your word, and by your love, and by your standards. Everything else is corrupt. No matter how much knowledge we get, no matter how many technical capabilities that we develop or that are given to us, even the ability to travel in the heavens, which you have not designed for us to do yet, in the heavens you have made for us. And we won't have to take a piece of this world with us. All the beings that are coming and traveling right now, Father, all we have to do when they appear is to watch. They got to bring a little bit of their world with them. If their world is not designed for them to breathe oxygen, whatever they breathe, they got to bring with them. Because they are not eternal. Their spacecraft crashed on the earth, and we find dead one of them. So they're not eternal. But you have said that you will give us eternity. You will give us life beyond measure. You will make it where the elements can't kill us. Not even outer space can kill us. We won't need water. We won't need air. We'll be able to travel throughout all your creation. If we but do what you say to do. In the end, only those creatures that have evolved the way that you have said to evolve will evolve, whether they're on this planet or not. All others you will destroy. So, Father, give us a heart to believe you, to embrace your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, your ordinances and your judgments, your heart. Help us to embrace your heart. For those things give us your heart. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. So, the Most High has been dealing with me on a few subjects, a few topics. I think I want to stay in this one, but if he says something different, we may not come this way tonight. But if he doesn't give me, if he says to come another way, then whatever precept he gives me, whether it's on false doctrine, whether it's on the doctrine of men, the traditions of men, because I know that he's been dealing with me in such a way that he wants me to start listing these things. What is false doctrine? What are the doctrines that are being taught today that are definitely false that men believe? such as the Most High loves unconditionally. He loves us no matter what. That's a false doctrine, and that's a doctrine of men. When the Most High gives us if condition, if you do this, then I'll do that. That is not unconditional. But yet, every time that you will hear a preacher or a teacher teach in the modern day Christian faith, they want to tell you no matter what, the Most High loves you. They want to tell you no matter what, the Most High is going to forgive you no matter what. If you sin against him in the future, he's going to forgive you no matter what. These are the doctrines of men, and they are falsehoods. And they're designed so that when you learn the truth, the doctrines of men sound better than the truth. But they are false doctrines. With that being said, all hurt and harm, seen and unseen, and until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, saints. For this is the whole duty of man. Shalom and enjoy the rest of your day. See you on this evening if you return. My bad. Talking too much. Let me roll the credits.
Brother Miles. Shalom, family. Happy Sabbath.
Shalom, family. Happy Sabbath. Enjoy the rest of your day. See you guys this evening.
Thank you.
Peace and blessings, family.
Today, brother.